Unfiltered.
Broadcasting live from West Wichita in the KQAM studios. It's time for your weekend kickstart with Wichita's number one conservative talk radio host. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Oh, hey, how's it going? What's up? Welcome into it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM 1480 on the AM dial, 99.7 HD4 on that smart radio. If you have that HD channel, high definition, you can listen to us there each and every day as well. So great to have you and our friends out in Garden City, Kansas on KIUL. Good morning to you. Good Saturday. Let's get things up and going here, shall we? Waking you up. I got to admit, I'm struggling a little bit. I don't know if it's the allergy season or if it's what it is, but man, you wake up and you're just like, and I don't know. I got to mow the yard this weekend for the first time, and it probably should have been done like a week or so ago. My neighbor's looking at me just a little bit funny. I have like foot-long dandelions in my front yard, but I'm totally okay with it. It's cool. So I guess I better do something about that as well. So great to have you. Happy Saturday morning. It is Kansas Talk. I'm Andy Hoosier. 316-721-8255. 316 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. We'd love to hear from you today. Got a lot to talk about. We had our big event for KQAM just a couple of days ago. The organization Kansans for Life had their big banquet last night, I believe. We have some more election stuff coming up here in the next few months that we'll have information for. The legislative session about wrapped up with them going back after the governor vetoing massive amounts of bills. We'll get to that in just a little bit as well. Yesterday, she finished off the week with vetoing, I want to say, six bills and more probably on the way. So the legislature will definitely have a lot of work to do when they get back in action for the final week of April to finish off the session of 2024. The governor that says that she is middle of the road, the governor that says that she's willing to work with the other side, the governor says that she is a non-veto governor, has vetoed more bills than any governor in like the past three decades. So just throwing that one out there. But there she is. So we'll talk about some of those bills and what she actually vetoed. Some of them, you just scratch your head a little bit and you wonder why she would veto any of these. Except for, of course, being the partisan hack that she says that she's not. So what does that actually entail, and what could we see at the end of the session? We'll do all that here in just a moment. 316-721-8255. I do want to thank, first and foremost, thank all of you that did come out to the event for KQAM on Thursday, our big meet and greet with Todd Starnes, our panel discussion with Americans for Prosperity. Fascinating conversations. It really was. It was a lot of fun. We enjoyed it. Chris Croft, our House Majority Leader for the state legislature, was able to make it out. Thank you for Chris. We need to get him on the show. I don't know that we've had him on this program. So he is in line. We need to get him on. And he did a great job with us talking about some of the issues going on at the legislature. Jordan Fischetti, he was the immigration expert from Americans for Prosperity, made the trek all the way out from Washington, D.C., drove from Washington, D.C. all the way out here to Kansas for this event. Now, they were already on the road as they were doing some solar eclipse stuff, and they were visiting family throughout the country, and they made their way down to, imagine this, they drove from D.C. down to Dallas and then up to Wichita for the event. It's a heck of a road trip. And then they were headed up to Kansas City and then back home. I can imagine that he's going to be sleeping for a week thereafter. So it was great to have him. And I noticed that during the panel discussion that we had, there was a lot of attention directed towards the immigration issue. So he addressed a lot of issues, and I hope that it was informative enough for people to realize how complicated the matter is down there. When we get frustrated, and I could sense the emotion and frustration because all of us have it, myself included, with this immigration problem and this migration flow of illegals just waltzing across our border and doing whatever they do, that we want to lock everything down and just say, we're done with this crap, we want to fix it right now. And it makes sense. But then we also have the trade. We have the semis coming up. We have business people coming up and down. We have a lot of things that we need to address. Do we need to build a wall? Yeah, we have to build a wall. Do we need more security? Yeah, we need more security. Do we have to reform our laws? Well, I mean, I guess kind of. First and foremost, we need the executive branch to actually enforce the laws that are on the books. So it was a fascinating conversation to kind of learn a little bit deeper. And I highly recommend, if anybody gets a chance to do it, to actually go to the border and experience what's really going on, which is what I got to do last summer. And actually, I had met Jordan Fischetti down there as well. So super fun stuff. Then, of course, Todd Starnes, our big guest, our grand speaker, he was here at the KQM studios for 2 days doing his program, which was a lot of fun. It was so great to have him in studio and was able to help him make sure everything was running smoothly. And then he had, from what it sounded like, he had a great time at the event. He loved meeting everybody, taking pictures, signing books, and giving his speech. So overall, it was a fantastic event. We were so thrilled and honored to have Todd Starnes come out and partner with Americans for Prosperity. And it went so well. So those of you that came out to support that event, thank you from the bottom of our heart here at KQAM. Yes, we are planning to do more. That was the question that I had from a lot of people that came out was, when's the next event? Yes, we are planning to do more. We are planning to do other things from debates and panel discussions for candidates. Some people mentioned about a rally. We may just do just a simple rally, going out to the courthouse and having a grand time, playing some music, getting some speakers, getting your feel goods going for election time. We may do that during the summer. We may be planning on some bigger events kind of like that with other great speakers coming in, our national hosts and so on and so forth. So we're working on some things. So hang tight and be ready in anticipation, because we are working diligently behind the scenes to make something happen. That's kind of neat. I'm excited. There's not a lot of stations that are actually actively involved in some of this stuff. So the fact that we're going to be one of the only ones that are actually doing some stuff on the ground, boots on the ground, and actually be involved in the community, especially during election season, we're super excited about that. So just a little teaser of what's coming. But again, thank you for all those that did come out to the big event for Todd Starnes and KQAM Radio. All right, 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotline. We have a guest lineup today. Sam Speck, our main host on Wake Up Wichita, Wichita's Big Talker KQAM, which you can hear weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m. He'll be on the program bottom of this hour. As you know, I like to do an official, which we did it already with Stephanie Austin. I wanted to get her out, but she's actually involved with our sister station right now, Hank FM. She is involved out on location for them today, so wasn't able to join us. But we've already kind of given her the official warm welcome back to the KQAM airwaves. But Sam Speck, we have not done that yet, so we're going to get him on the program and do the official welcome back to KQAM and all the cool stuff that he's doing. As we talk about more events that we're doing with KQAM, he's going to be more involved with them too. It's not just me. I don't want to do all this stuff by myself, and he's rocking it and killing the morning show. So he is going to be heavily involved with all this great stuff we're doing here on KQAM. So we'll have him on at the bottom of the hour. Hour number two, we have Leo Delperdang, state representative, on the program right at 10 o'clock. We're going to talk about some of these bills that were vetoed by the governor and what that means for the legislature moving forward and what their priorities are going to be, and can we overturn the majority of these bills. We have that. And, of course, Davis Liquor Outlet, bottom of next hour, we'll talk about adult beverages now that the season's getting warmer. We're going into the springtime season and what adult beverages that you can possibly enjoy. So we have all that to get to and more. And, of course, your phone calls on the show today. I am looking at the headlines right now for the vetoed bills. And I want to run through some of these just for a moment for you to just ponder on what she actually vetoed here. Because some of them, I'm like, okay, we get it. She's a partisan Democrat. She says she's not, but she's a partisan Democrat that vetoed these bills. She is starting her middle of the road pact, and that's going to be a super PAC that's going to fund Rhino Republicans to overthrow the conservative Republicans in red districts because they realize they can't win as actual Democrats. So they're going to try and manipulate the vote by putting in, and I use this in air quotes for the radio listeners, moderate Republicans that are going to come in and try and challenge these conservatives in the legislature. So keep that in mind when you hear some of these bills that she vetoed, because she's a partisan radical left-wing Democrat. According to KSNT News, the big bill that was vetoed that's going to cause a lot of controversy when the legislature reconvenes here in the next week or so, the substitute bill for Senate Bill 233 that would, it was known as the Forbidding Abuse Child Transitions Act, that would restrict state funds from promoting gender transitioning for minors, prohibiting health care providers from treating children whose gender identity is inconsistent with the child's sex, authorizes a civil cause of action against a health care provider for providing such treatment, requires professional discipline against a health care provider who performs such a treatment, prohibits professional liability insurance from covering damages from health care providers that provide gender transition and treatment to children, and adds violations to the act to the definition of unprofessional conduct for physicians and nurses. In other words, this bill would have essentially made it illegal or at least allowed legal punishment for doctors and physicians that would have promoted or helped out with the gender transition, hormone therapies, medical manipulation, surgeries, whatever, to transition minors in the state of Kansas. Now, if you're an adult, do whatever the hell you want to. That's been our position. That's the position of most conservatives. I mean, we can't tell you what to do with your life. We don't want to tell you what to do with your life. Do your own thing, man. You do you. I do me. Don't enforce yours on me. I won't enforce mine on yours. Everybody lives all happily ever after. But children are another story. They are not consenting adults. They don't know what they want. They are very confused. I saw a post actually from Cake News. I believe it was Cake, one of the local media sites on social media this morning, actually, that was talking about a father that had the quote-unquote great awakening, this great awareness all of a sudden come over him with his son that wants to transition to a girl. And I don't know how old, I'm guessing middle school age. And the story, I just saw the headline, didn't actually read the story, but was about how the father had this great awareness, this wave of understanding wash over him, saying that he needs to be there to support instead of actually fight some of this stuff, because I finally understand what they're going through. And going through that time of middle school age, the teenage years, and it's already hell, it's already a difficult time, your body's changing, and then to be conflicted with your gender already just makes it 10 times even worse. And I don't need to be a problem on top of that. I need to be the support for the child to make the best decision that they can possibly make. Now, that being said, I had to make a comment, so I posted on the Facebook page, and I had just willingly made the statement, the factual statement, that statistically, those that have true gender dysphoria are less than 1% of the population. That's adults, that's children, that's everyone. Less than 1%. In fact, it's even lower. It's like 0.5% of the population, or even lower than that, whatever it is. It's a ridiculously small amount that have true. And this is biologically the statistic that's been consistent throughout the entire time of humanity. Since the dawn of time, there's that, you know, the anomaly. And I don't want to say it an anomaly because I'm not trying to be attackful here. I'm just saying statistically, it's an anomaly in biology. That's what it is. Yeah, whether it's a mental issue, whether it's a chemical imbalance, whether it's whatever the case may be. And again, it's not a derogatory thing to attack here. It's just statistically and factually and scientifically what's going on. It is an anomaly, a blip in the numbers, or it's just an odd thing that happens of a gender dysphoria where someone does not feel comfortable in their skin. They don't feel comfortable of who they actually are. I'm not attacking. God bless you. I mean, I feel bad. That's just who you are. Okay, fine. But that's a very, very, very small percent of the population. According to Gen Z, the generation behind me as a millennial, they say 30% of that generation alone identifies as part of the LGBTQ community. Now, that's including transgender individuals, that's including gay and lesbian or whatever they try to identify as, which that number predominantly is normally a little bit higher. Those generations in population overall, I believe historically, that being a gay or a lesbian or trans or that whole thing together lump sum is roughly anywhere between 5-7% of the population statistically. Historically, that's what it's been. So 30% of an entire generation means there's something else going on. It's not just the natural evolution we've had, depending on what you believe in, that you either have thousands of years or millions of years, whatever, of this standard percentage of the population that believes or that feels this particular way. It floats anywhere between 3-5-7% of the population. Now, all of a sudden, we have a single generation that shows 30% of it. There's something else going on. So either Alex Jones was correct when he said that the water and the chemicals they're putting in water is making the frogs gay, if you remember that historic clip from Alex Jones, or there's a political agenda that's abusing these children and trying to forcefully confuse them at a time when they're already confused. So going back to the story with the dad that's having this great awakening, this great call of like, oh, I need to be there to support, as opposed to like, you know, make it more complicated for this kid, that you're not being a parent that's guiding your child. Even when they're in that stage of rebellion, which God forbid, I'm waiting for that time when my daughter gets to that, because she's 9 already, which means she's going to start rebelling soon. And I don't know if daddy can take that because she's always my baby girl and I don't want her to do that. Nonetheless, if she starts rebelling, and when she starts rebelling, she's still under the roof of the parent. And at 13, she still does not know what she's going to do with her life. She's not fully developed. She doesn't know what the hell is going on. She doesn't know how the world works. And therefore, as a parent, you don't just sit there and be like, whatever you want, kiddo. You can do anything you want. You say, you know, I understand that you may be going through a time where you're trying to question stuff and confuse things. That doesn't mean that you just got it all figured out and that we're just going to allow you to willy-nilly do whatever. That means that you're going to be a parent and be like, that doesn't make any sense. While you're going through emotions, you got to also try to think logically here. This doesn't make any sense. And when 90-95% of those kids that do have this type of dysphoria end up growing out of it by the age of 18, 19 years old, then why would we allow them to have do some sort of hormone therapy? Governor Kelly vetoing this bill that would have punished physicians around the state from allowing this type of mutilation or this punishment or this abuse on children to actually happen. Not surprising, but still pretty ridiculous. There's some more bills that we'll talk about when we come back. Your thoughts on this, 316-721-8255, 316-721-TALK, right here on Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Stay here. Six minutes past the hour. Welcome back into it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Good Saturday morning to you. Getting you up and moving for another weekend. I know we kind of started off a little harsh there with the politics. When you're trying to just, you know, sip some coffee and have a good start to the morning. But there's a lot going on right now in Topeka for sure, especially as Governor Kelly, which it blows my mind. And the partisanship in this state is mind-boggling to me. And for all the years that I've been here in Kansas and watching what Governor Kelly does and watching what the Democrats do in general, which remember, there are more independent and unaffiliated voters in the state of Kansas than there are Democrats. And that just shows how weak the Democrat Party is. But yet she continues to just dominate as if the vast majority of the state population's on her side. And it's not. They say that 70% of the state population supports Medicaid. They don't. That's just 70% of whoever they're surveying, which is predominantly Democrats, which would tell me that they have some major issues to work through. The sad part is that our Republican Party right now really isn't very strong either. And I'm not talking about the actual candidates, because the candidates and the elected officials, for the most part, are great, but our actual structured, organized Republican Party. And I'm not trying to diss on you. I'm just bringing the awareness that we don't know how to fix an issue unless we're actually aware that there's an issue. And right now there's an issue to where we have leadership that doesn't really lead as a state Republican Party, especially when we go into an election season and we're $6,000 in the hole as a state party, as opposed to, you know, the $2 million that we were promised to go into an election year with some really great campaign plans to make things happen for boots on the ground and knocking on doors and making phone calls and getting candidates in the races and making sure that we have a strong force and a strong presence in November. So we're working on that. Don't worry. I doubt that Mike Brown's going to come on this program. I'll invite him. We need to get him on. We need to actually have some type of Republican presence, especially if we're going to try and rally not for even federal races, but just for local races, because Governor Kelly has a full front going on. And because Democrats have such a small percentage of support in this state, that means that they're working on trying to play a little bit of a sneaky, sneaky game by getting moderate Republicans that are Democrats and pretend to be Republicans to actually come in and challenge a lot of these races around the state. That's going to be a major issue. So be very diligent when you see candidates pop up and start knocking on your doors and talking to you on where they stand on issues. Are they truly conservative? Do they have a record to prove that they're conservative? Or are they going to go in and be like, well, that conservative's too radical, so we're just going to bring things back to the middle of the road? Middle of the road to them means that we're going to veto any conservative bill because, well, we want to go middle of the road and just give Democrats anything they want. That's what middle of the road means today. And we see that proof in Washington, D.C. and in Topeka. That middle of the road means conservatives, you are radical, you're outdated, you're holding on to something that isn't there any longer because those limited government free market values are old school, things have changed, things have adapted, that your middle of the road now means that you need to give those up and do what Democrats want because Democrats are the future, bruh. Democrats are the future! And you just got to go with that. And if you get on board with them, then it's bipartisan. They didn't change, but you changed. And therefore, now you're bipartisan and things are working together in a bipartisan holding hands kumbaya manner, brah. Republicans, get on board with that. I think I'll pass. I think that's okay. That's not what compromise and negotiation and finding middle ground actually means. That's what it means in today's times, but that's why today's times are a little weird. And we're going to start bringing back the good old days of actually having real compromise and making them concede a little bit, too. I know, it's a wild thought. Lots more coming up right around the corner here. It's Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talk, or KQAM. Stay here.
Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right you are. Welcome back into it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. So great to have you along for the ride here on a Saturday morning, getting you up and moving for the weekend again. It's funny how they just keep coming one Saturday after another. 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. So much to talk about. We had six different bills that the governor vetoed yesterday, wrapping up the week, which means we have more work for the legislature when they convene here in another couple weeks here to try and override those vetoes. Will that happen, and what will that look like? There are six bills that the governor vetoed yesterday. We'll go through some of those, and we'll talk about that with state legislative rep Leo Delperdang in the 10 o'clock hour coming up right around the corner. Want to shift gears, though, as we wrapped up a big event on Thursday, our big Todd Starnes event here with KQAM Radio, and what we get to look forward to with some future promotions and just the overall sound of what we're doing here at KQAM, because I love to do this with any host, with any show, anything that we have going on the station. Love to bring him on and do the official welcome to the KQAM airwaves. And it's a little late because he's already kind of rocking it, but we had to get him on here as well. But new host with Wake Up Wichita, which you can hear weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. The man himself, Mr. Sam Speck, on the line. Sam, what's going on, brother? First off, welcome back to Stackline Communications and welcome to the KQAM airwaves, man.
Yeah, good morning to you. Thank you for the warm welcome, as well as everybody that was at the Todd Starnes election rally the other day. It was actually a very warm welcome for many of our KQAM listeners. I got some great comments, so thank you to all of the kind words that came, you know, to both Stephanie and I. That was wonderful as well. But yeah, good to be back in Wichita. I am currently sitting out on my patio in the backyard looking at my uncut backyard as of right now. So looking at a big duty that I need to do for this weekend, I need to cut this backyard. But no, I am very much enjoying being back with the organizations such as Stackline Communications, back working in the building. Andy, you and I have been friends for many years. In fact, you signed my first marriage certificate, if you remember that.
Yeah.
So you and I have been very close for a long, long time. And no, it's very good to be back in the building. And I'm glad that what we're doing on Wake Up Wichita has really resonated with people. I have fun doing it. I certainly love being back just on the airwaves in general on a regular basis. Obviously, I do the agricultural network stuff and what we do on Mid-America Ag Network. But at the end of the day, it feels good to be back into a two-hour slot wherever it may be. And whether it's at six in the morning, I'm not a morning person, believe it or not. I bring some energy, but I'm not a morning person. And at 6 a.m., it's kind of hard. But I'm very glad it's kind of resonating with people. And hopefully, my neighbor's goats in the background, if you can hear them. I'll probably get in the garage here now. But nonetheless, I'm glad it's resonating with people.
Yeah, no, people are loving it. It's really really starting to perk some people's interest with it. And I mean, we've always had, you know, great hosts, and Tracy Cassidy was with us for a while, and you know, we've had some great hosts before that with Jeff and with John Wright, and it's been great. But to fill in this, and it's great to, like you said, I'm not a morning person either, and doing the morning show that I did for what, 5-6 years that I did here at KQIM was definitely a struggle. But when you wake up and you get to talk to people on their way to work, and they get to hear to wake up in a good mood with some positive energy and some high intensity. It's what it's all about, and it's fantastic. So you and Stephanie Austin rocking the morning show, and listening to it, it's great because you do. You bring some energy to it, and we get to talk about some news and traffic and weather, but you get to talk to people, you get to talk to great guests, you get to open it up to phone lines and have a great conversation, and I think that Wichita's desperately needing something like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think every regional and local, or, you know, we try and think on a big scale sometimes, and a lot of times radio, and not only entertainment, but information-wise, needs to be consolidated down into something that's more localized.
Yeah.
You know, you can think universally, but you need to act localized. You need to kind of act upon those. And that could be, you know, attributed to a whole bunch of things. I think it could apply to politics as well. We need to think more locally and then have it kind of transpire into what goes. Obviously, you know, us, you and I, we have similar values into where we need lesser of the bigger government, of the federal government, but that's kind of what ties into it. And it kind of goes into a lot of different aspects of life, and radio is the same way. Yeah. Radio can spread information at a very valuable trait on a local level. And that's what we try and do in the morning, is not only do we try and bring you some national news, that's always wonderful to try and get you caught up with that, but everybody basically has a smartphone nowadays. It's going to come across your phone. So what we try and do is we try and do a good mix of national, regional, obviously, across the Sunflower State, and then especially localized. And our partnership with Kate, as well as, you know, just the diligent effort that both Stephanie and I put into, we really try and hit hard locally. But obviously, if state news, it needs to get out there. And then, of course, the national news, if it's something important enough, you know you're going to hear it on Wake Up Wichita. And that's something that we pride ourselves on so far in just the first couple of weeks. So we look to grow upon that. But you're right. You know, we try and keep it lighthearted, because a lot of times when you hear the news and a lot of times that you hear the headlines, it's pretty discouraging. Yeah. So we try and, at a local level, bring in some guests that, you know, maybe excite you for some things that you can get involved in your community with. You know, you can go out and have this fun event with your family and still focus on the community events and still focus on those core family values that you can get out. Or if you're just by yourself, I mean, my God, I'm single. You know, I'm single. I got nothing. I still go out to these things. Yeah. And getting involved in the events like we had last night or two nights ago with the election rally or whatever. But still, you know, getting involved in your community. And that's why we encourage people to call in. We encourage guests as well, regardless of your, you know, working value. It doesn't matter to us. It truly, if you want to get on and just speak about Wichita and what you and your company are doing right now, we'd love to, you know, really get on and highlight that. But, you know, like I said, 6 to 8 a.m., we'd love to get you the headline news, regardless of what it is. We do it in a professional manner. However, like I said, we try and do it in a lighter but more energetic wake up. Here's your news for the morning. Let's talk about it. And, you know, truly, you know, educational value. I think it's a special program that I really think that we're going to be able to grow upon this. So, yeah. Like I said, we have a lot of space open. So if anybody out there listening right now would love to be a part of just, you know, a Wake Up Wichita, we have about a 10-minute, you know, interview period of the morning where we can really sit down and talk about the programs locally and stuff. And then, of course, you know you're going to be informed. So yeah. It's been a special time, and I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time now. Something that listeners may not know, which is kind of interesting, is that, like you said, you and I have been friends for a long time, and you bounce around. In your radio versatility, not only do you do, you know, shows like this, but then, like you said, being the director for the Agricultural Network and the Mid-America Ag Network, you do a lot of play-by-play for the sports stuff. You used to do a show for the sports show as well, talking on the other side. But the versatility in radio is fun because you and I actually went to the exact same broadcasting school. So it shows the quality that's punching out of there. But it's fun because this is our background. This is what we do. We came out of a broadcasting school with the understanding of media and how to make this hopefully somewhat entertaining, right?
Yeah, no, I've got to give a shout out to the Colorado Media School, or I guess in long, broad terms, the Ohio School for Broadcasting or whatever it is. I can't remember, but it was a fantastic program that we went through. And yes, believe it or not, folks, Andy and I did go to the same school. We did not graduate in the same class. We are in difference by any means, but at the same time, that I got to give them a shout out. It's a shameless plug 100% because, yes, you're right. They taught me all of the core values of what it means to be somebody in radio. I've been doing it for about a decade now. I'm coming up on my 10th year. And that was basically straight out of high school, graduated the program that we went through, got our accredited associate's degree, you know, just as we had. And I know you had a little bit more college experience than we did, but I'll tell you what, I would debate you all day that no matter what college experience that you had, the Colorado Media School prepared us more for radio than the majority of schools probably could. Of course, you got Texas, you got Syracuse, you got maybe USC, you know, the big schools that really, really focus on radio and sports radio as well. And that's what I tried to get into. I was an athlete in high school, and I started in sports radio 100%. And that's what I thought I was going to do. I wanted to be the play-by-play guy. I wanted to be the guy that was on the sidelines or the guy that was in the booth, whatever it may be. And still, in a very, very, you know, dark corner that's down there, my dream job, you know, play-by-play for the Yankees, 100%. New York Yankees. That's huge.
Yeah.
And we just got to put our dues in. However, you and I both realized through time, guess what? In the radio industry, you have to pay your dues. And what does that mean? That means opening up your playbook. That means opening up your flexibility and learning new aspects of the radio industry. I have, within just 10 years, and you've got some years on me, and you've even got experience on me. It's unbelievable. I very much admire your work ethic, and both you and I have a very similar kind of viewpoint of the radio industry. We're like sponges.
Yeah.
We love the new information. Bring it in. And that's what I have learned, especially in the last maybe 3 to 4 years, especially. I started with Specline in 2019. I had a couple of different positions. Sales wasn't the best, but the on-air positions and kind of contributing to the in terms of keeping the radio station on the air, whether it means being an engineer one day, you got to put on a lot of hats. You got to realize that. An engineer one day, a producer one day, an operations guy one day, or just an on-air suit, doesn't matter. You kind of have to put on those hats. And I fit in well. It has been a wonderful first few months back with the company. Obviously, you and I are close, and I knew some folks that we work with. I've worked with Stephanie in the past, obviously our GM, Doug. So it was an easy transition. It was very easy. But you guys made it very welcoming. So it has been nice. And you're not wrong. Like I said, it's a different mindset. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, I feel like the mindset you and I have for the love of radio could be applied in so many different job applications. All you have to do is go out there and find your passion and your drive and your love. And you need to, you know, need to designate as to why you're doing it. First and foremost, I think it needs to be a personal thing. You and I wouldn't be doing what we're doing unless we enjoy it, right? Yeah. So we have to enjoy what we're doing. But secondary to that, you have to put values as well, family values. You have to put responsibility in factor. And I feel like a lot of younger generations are getting away from that. So shout out to the school that we had. It instilled it within us. And absolutely, I like I said, the radio industry has taught me so many values as an individual, especially those that I had mentioned. But it goes beyond that. It's a stressful job, believe me, and it is a taxing job. There's a lot of hours that you have to put forth that you weren't expecting. But at the end of the day, that's life. And like I said, radio has really, really been able to open my eyes, and I've been able to apply it to different aspects in life.
Yeah.
And you can do it in any job. And I think that's just a mindset that comes with it.
Well, it is a mindset you have to come with it. And it's a great teacher of work ethic. And we got that from that broadcasting school. And a lot of people, I think some of the younger generation, some of the others need to, you know, have kind of gone to the wayside when it comes to a work ethic, understanding that you got to put that time in order to get to where you want to be. And, you know, whether it's in radio or other industries as well. Sam, we got a couple minutes left here before we wrap up, but now that we have the morning show, we have this program, we have such an amazing staff with you and Stephanie and myself, and we're all rocking KQAM. We have some really cool events, and now that we're in election year, we're going to be doing some more events. I'm looking forward to working with you on some of these big promotions here for KQ and getting just the word out to get out and vote during election time.
Yeah, no, and it was really inspiring the other evening, Thursday evening at the election rally, Lavella Events Center. Big shout out to them. Always shameless plug. That was my first time there, but boy, they hosted a great, great spot. We filled the room very, very well. And I think, overall, obviously I was working the event, and when you have to work an event, you kind of have to focus on some other things. But I really sat down and I was riveted into the conversation. And I think that's something that's important in an election year, is the fact that you're just focusing on conversation a little bit more right now. And yeah, you need to really kind of take the dialect. You need to focus, and you need to, do your own diligent research. I don't care, at the end of the day, obviously I know where I'm voting, and Andy, I know where you're voting. I think we may be very, very similar, but at the end of the day, it's a powerful unit as an American citizen to be an informed voter. And I think that's very, very important. Don't vote just out of spite. I think that's ridiculous. Don't just vote because you think one guy is better than the other. I want you to actually do some diligent research, and I want you to actually make a vote that is specific to you. It might not go along. Your mom, your dad might not vote the same way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It comes down to being a diligent, informed voter. And at the end of the day, you have the right to do that as an American, 100%. And you also have the right to not have the informed voting. However, I think this election season is very, very important to be an informed voter. And having events like we had the other night was very, very eye-opening. Like I said, I was working the event. I figured I would be distracted. I was very focused on the food. The La Villa Event Center was fantastic. They had a great lasagna, by the way. Unbelievable. Yeah. So I was obviously distracted by that. And of course, that thing that we call work. I had to do that throughout the evening. But at the end of the day, I found myself sitting in a chair and listening. And regardless if I agreed or not, it was very, very nice to be able to have these types of opportunities to listen, conversate, to absorb the information. And I think that is very, very important heading into election season, is being an informed voter, being informed about it. And not necessarily just something off the headlines. I want you to read into something. And if you find an article that is riveting to you and it makes you sit down and think about something, then do a little bit of extra research. Find a secondary and a third article. And then base what you have to it. Because believe it or not, in some states or in some reasons or in some instances, doesn't matter regardless, there are articles out there that are trying to persuade you in one direction or the other. So, like I said, to be an informed voter, you need to do the due diligence to find a couple of different sources, do that research if that's a topic that really, really hits to you. And then, by the time that we do get down to November, you need to express your right as an American and get out and vote.
That is very true. I'm right there with you, brother. Get out that vote and be that informed voter. Those people that just base their decision off a 15-second ad is a little insane, but there's a lot of them out there. So that's what our goal is, to try and get people as informed as possible. And like you said, bringing it back down to that local level with these local candidates and getting them to be able to change the community around them. Sam Speck, Wake Up Wichita. You can hear it weekdays from 6 to 8 a.m. right here on KQAM. Sam, good stuff, brother. We'll do it again here real soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andy. And everybody have a good weekend. It's going to be nice out.
Absolutely. Go and enjoy it. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I got to cut my yard, too. My foot-tall dandelions are going to be upset when I have to cut them this weekend. But it's supposed to be like 90 tomorrow, and I don't know that I want to go out in 90-degree weather. So maybe I'll convince my neighbors to let me wait another weekend. We'll see. Got to take a break here. It's Kansas Talk right here, Wichita's Big Talker. KQAM, stay right here. Welcome back to it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Great stuff. Appreciate Sam Speck jumping on the program again. You can listen to him on Wake Up Wichita mornings from 6 to 8 a.m., him along with Stephanie Austin. Stephanie Austin is out right now. We were going to have her on the show as well, but she is out working with our sister station, 99.7 Hank FM, doing a grand opening for a new small business. We're doing a remote out there at Jacob's Small Engine Repair in Kingman, Kansas, if you want to go out and see her. She does have some good giveaways because, as you know, Hank FM doing a great concert promotion. We'll talk about that in a little bit, with a big concert coming up in June. And she has a couple tickets. So if you want to go out there and get those, along with seeing what the ribbon cutting is going to be. Going to be a big family event out in Kingman today. Go out in the countryside and see that beautiful stuff. You're more than welcome to do that as well. All right, when we come back, hour number two right here on Kansas Talk, we'll talk about some legislative updates. The governor's vetoing six bills. Shocker! The governor that doesn't like to veto bills. She's the non-veto governor. Has vetoed more bills than any governor in like the past three decades. So there's that. So we'll talk about what bills she actually vetoed. State Representative Leo Delperdang in studio with us. We'll do that coming up. Plus, Davis Liquor Outlet at 10:30. While I'm mowing my foot-long and foot-tall dandelions, what adult beverages can I enjoy in the warm weather? We'll do that and more for hour number two right around the corner. Stay here.
Truth. Unfiltered.
Broadcasting live from West Wichita in the KQAM studios. It's time for your weekend kickstart with Wichita's number one conservative talk radio host. This is Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome into it. It's hour number two of Kansas Talk right here in Wichita's Big Talker KQAM. So great to have you with us. Happy Saturday morning. Trying to get you up and moving for the day. I got to admit, it's lawn mowing season again, which means you have to deal with lawn mowers. And then you have to deal with the gas cans that now have the EPA like regulated like little spout on it that doesn't actually allow anything to come out of the spout because they don't want you to use the fuel in it. We're back in that season again. You know what I did? I took the damn spout off and I just dump it right from there. And I spill some, but you know what? Thanks, Environmental Protection Agency, you jerks. Got a lot to talk about this hour. 316-721-8. It's funny. You know what? I'm going to get some calls because I've talked about that like 5 years ago. And I know someone's going to call me like, I remember when you already mentioned that. It's okay. It's still a pet peeve of mine. This is the same time of year that this happens every year. 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. Bottom of this hour, we have Davis Liquor Outlet. They'll be joining you to talk about some adult beverages. If you are doing some of the yard work in springtime, prep for the yard and what you're going to do this summer, then you need that adult beverage to keep you cool and refreshed. And we'll talk about them coming up in just a little bit. State Representative Leo Delperdang in studio with us, though, as we do our legislative update now that they're kind of sort of out of session for a moment. So, Leo, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Hey, good morning, Andy. Always good to be here with you.
Always good to chat with you.
Interesting comments on the gas cans. I know lots of people that modify them now.
I don't even modify it anymore. I just take the damn thing off. I'm so sick of that. I can never get it to work. I don't understand how that thing works.
It is basic theory. If you take something out, you got to put something in. That means if gas comes out, air's got to come in. When they did away with the vent, it just kind of bloop.
It doesn't do anything. It drives me nuts. So, I just took the spout completely off, and it's ridiculous. It's so stupid. Drives me nuts. I want to go through the bills real quick on what Governor Kelly ended up vetoing yesterday. There's six or seven bills that she vetoed, probably more to come. But before I read off some of these bills, I thought she was the non-veto governor. She wanted to work across the aisle. She was the middle of the road. She wanted to hold hands and sing kumbaya, find common ground, and work with Republicans, which is why she's starting her middle of the road pack so we can find some common ground on issues. But yet, she's vetoed more bills than I think any governor has in the past, like 30 years.
I was going to say, I think you got that wrong. If she's the anti-veto governor, I think she's got the record. And I even question, you say last 30 years, she may have the all-time record. She's done more vetoes than I've ever seen up there.
Wow. So. But it's because you guys are too radical.
Well, we are.
Yeah, okay.
And proud of it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you radical conservatives of common sense. So, okay, according to KSNT News, I'm going to read through, just rattle off these bills in quick, and then we'll go into some detail and get your thoughts on some of these. We talked about earlier in hour number one, we talked about Senate Bill 233. That was the one that would forbid doctors and physicians to actually give hormone therapies or life-altering prescriptions or whatever to minors for transgender surgeries or therapies, whatever they're going to go through, ended up vetoing that bill. Obviously, it's which shocking, not shocking, surprising, not surprising. House Bill 2749 was the one that would require abortion clinics to report the reasons on why someone's getting an abortion. I found that kind of an interesting build on what we are trying to do, obviously trying to just understand the purpose and reasoning for people to do this, but obviously not liking that. So we'll talk about that one in a minute. House Bill 2436. Creating coercion to obtain an abortion and provide enhanced criminal penalties for offenses committed with the intent to coerce a woman to obtain an abortion. I'm assuming that has to do with, which it's sad that we still have this industry here, but with individuals that may be in the sex trade or be forced to do this and then forced to get an abortion as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I'd be happy to jump in that one a little bit too. But yeah, we were focused on specifically pimps and trafficking.
Okay.
I mean, Wichita is one of the top 10 cities in the country for trafficking.
Really?
Think of that. We got the roads coming right from Houston to Dallas up through Wichita and on to Kansas City and so forth. And, wow. And Chicago, we are a prime trafficking city.
So and these women that are being forced with human trafficking and then their pimps or whoever's controlling them saying, all right, now you're pregnant, we're just going to go get you an abortion, whether they want to or not.
Right. And that's what it was trying to protect the woman against. You know, taking the crime not on the woman. But if you've got a pimp out there or a trafficker that's forcing it on, we need to be looking at that person. But
the governor vetoes
that. The governor vetoed it,
just saying, it's totally cool for someone to be coerced into having an abortion. Because, well, remember, it's not about choice, but it's about the right choice, according to them. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about some more of that in a minute here. Senate Bill 434, so stupid.
Can you say sugar?
Sugaring. So those that remember, we talked about sugaring a few weeks ago on the program with the Kansas Justice Institute, where sugaring, a natural, holistic way to remove hair that we've done for thousands of years, a very, very holistic way. You're not using chemicals. You're using like honey and you're using sugar. And you're using natural ways to remove it. Just wanting to remove that from the cosmetology thing, saying that you need to have a cosmetology license in order to do sugaring, which is a very stupid thing to do. Yet she vetoed that bill as well. So that's ridiculous. House Bill 2446. Let's see. Would prohibit cities and counties from regulating plastic. That's kind of an interesting one. I don't know that we necessarily needed to do that. So that's I have no grudge one way or the other against that veto. House Bill 2648, the bill that would require the budget director to independently determine costs of compliance and implementation of all proposed rules and regulations. Kind of more of a government role on that one. And then Senate Bill 394 that would require age verification technology permits to access internet websites. State Representative... who was that one that proposed that? That was that actually did the bill originally. It was who did we have on there? We had on that did that bill. Anyways,
I know who stuck up for it, and I'm not going to get into it.
Okay,
but I don't know who proposed it specifically. Oh, for the actual age verification.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was, we've talked about it on the program, Patrick Penn proposed it. Yeah,
okay.
He's the one that originally did the bill. We talked about it when he first proposed the bill. And he was, and then actually when we had him on a couple of weeks ago, he said that some others were trying to take credit for it, but he's the one that originally did the bill from the get-go that would essentially create an age verification for children so they don't go to adult content websites, if you know what I mean. And the governor vetoed it. So just to sum this up, Leo, we have a governor that vetoed a bill that would potentially criminalize the manipulation and the abuse of children for transgender surgeries or therapies.
Yeah, she vetoed
that
bill.
She vetoed that bill.
Correct.
She vetoed a ability for children to actually not be on adult websites.
Mm-hmm.
And she vetoed a bill that would have protected women from forcefully getting abortions in the state of Kansas. It sounds to me like she really, really, really likes children getting manipulated with hormone therapies, having an abortion, and being on porn sites.
Well, it makes you really stop and question.
Yeah.
It truly does. Along with, and it's not just her. Those that are sticking up for this. And I've told this to many people over the past few years here. The first 4 years of the Kelly organization, we complained about Laura Kelly.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore, by golly. she's in her second term. People know what she's like. They put her back in there. I don't think this is Laura Kelly's fault. I'm pointing fingers at the people that put her back in there. Mm. Why did we do that?
Yeah. That's
but
a great
there.
Question. It's yeah. there. Is this the agenda of just her radicalness, or is this the agenda of the actual Democrat Party?
Well, you think about it. She's got nothing to lose. She's termed out. So she's truly doing, she's trying
doing
to accomplish
whatever.
What she's wanting to get done here at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you think about that. I've read more articles on transgender operations with the minors. And if an adult wants to go out and do that, it's none of my business.
Right.
I have
all the power to you. Go do your thing.
I have no issue there. Do it. Just leave me out of it. I don't need to know.
Right.
But when you're doing it with a child, how many kids have had this done, whether it's an actual physical operation or the hormonal transitions, and then they get up to age 18, 19, 20 and say, my goodness, what did I do?
95% that go through this phase of questioning themselves come out on the other end and be like, wow, that was really stupid. That was just a phase.
That's exactly
it. Was a temporary phase. 95%, which means the ones that at that time are so emotional and that their parents are encouraging them to be woke in the cool parents that allow them to do hormone therapies that block hormones or that force other hormones on them, that do any type of manipulation surgeries, that they have to live with that choice for the rest.
Yeah.
But you remember back in the day, the biggest thing that our parents used to say was that don't get a tattoo because it's on you forever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was the big question. Now we're saying go ahead and chop off parts of your body and inject yourself with different hormones because that's going to be cool. And then a couple years later be like, wow, I probably shouldn't have done that. And I totally have regret
here. And it's a little bit hard to sew it back on.
Yeah, a little bit. I would think so. I would think that'd be a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
So why is parents, I guess this comes down to the parenting thing, that we're actually, that parents are wanting to be more supportive, quote unquote, as opposed to actually being parents saying, hey, this is a phase. If you want to do this when you turn 18 and you get out of my house, all the power to you. That's what my parents said. When I went to college, they said, if you want a tattoo and you get a tattoo, no more financial support from us whatsoever.
When parents used to take a stance.
Yeah.
Now every Johnny out there deserves his trophy.
Yeah.
And if you want to go get your operation, who am I to say no? Let's go get it done.
That's insane. You know? Like, again, is a parent, if my daughter, heaven forbid, which she wouldn't because she's the girliest girl of all, she's got unicorns and Barbies and she does ballet, for crying out loud. I'm not worried about her going through this. But let's say when she gets to that point, she says, I really think like I need to be a boy. That would be my choice. First of all, I'd be like, that's dumb and you're not. So let's just think through this logically. But if she's adamant, I'd say, look, you're in my house. And if you go off to college at the age of 18, 19, and you choose to do that, then you can. But again, you're not getting any more financial support. And obviously, if you can do this stuff, then when you're out of the house making your own decisions, I can't stop you. All the power to you.
Yeah.
Like, I have a tattoo now, and I'm about ready to get a lot more tattoos, but because I don't accept money from my parents anymore.
But it kind of reminds me of, as you're aware, and probably a bunch of them out there, I'm chairman of energy and utilities. So my focus is on that, go up through the legislature. I've got an invite to go out to some conference out in Colorado this summer. And it sounds interesting. It's on renewable energies and where the future's going. And it's like, okay, you got my attention. And they've been after me to come out there. So I said, go ahead and send me the information. Well, it's put on by like some university of Colorado out there. They sent me all this information. And the person putting this on signs the name, sounds like a female name, and then comma, he, she, they. And I'm thinking, okay, this is not science-based.
So
what
right now
is a they? You're either a guy or you're a girl. You're not flipping back and forth and back and forth. I don't get it.
Is that just the mood you're in for the day? Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know how that works.
But that's what you're seeing. And it's like, it's beyond me, I guess.
Yeah, it's very confusing. Let's go back to the bill about the coercion of abortion for a second. Mm-hmm. The statement from Governor Kelly when she vetoed it, she said this, according to KSNT News, quote, while I agree that no one should be coerced into undergoing a medical procedure against their will, maybe that should be the whole transgender thing too. She goes on to say, it is already a crime to threaten violence against another individual. Additionally, I am concerned with the vague language of this bill and its potential to intrude upon private, often difficult conversations between a person and their family, friends, and healthcare providers. This overly broad language risks criminalizing Kansans who are being confided in by their loved ones or simply sharing their expertise as a healthcare professional. So She's not, according to her, she says that just family members are going to be coercing people into doing it or not doing it. And she wants, I mean, again, this just encourages.
So it's strictly, the abortion is strictly between loved ones. And that's not what the bill, you mentioned a couple of bills. If you look at 2749, which is the reason for abortions, along with this one, 2436, which is the crime of coercion, they go hand in hand. You know, how do you... First off, the crime for coercion, as we mentioned earlier, whether it's pimps, trafficking, et cetera, being forced into it. But when you get into the other one she vetoed, reason for abortion, how do you fix the problem if you don't know what it is?
Right.
That bill specifically was not stopping anybody from an abortion.
Right.
It was simply trying to let us figure out why are they getting it so that we can figure the problems out. If you look at the numbers, you go back just a couple years, I'm going to say 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Kansas averaged approximately 5,000 abortions per year, 5,300, right in that area.
Right.
2023, over 20,000 abortions in Kansas.
Wow.
We are the national destination now. People are coming from Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado,
all over
the place to get their abortions here.
Yeah.
Why? What's going on here?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. And again, you said they go hand in hand because we want to try and figure out the problem. To them, it's not a problem. To them, it's a good thing. So trying to put any restriction on to understand the reasoning why, to them, it's like, doesn't need to be a reason just because I feel like it.
But just on that, it's no different than any other political item that we deal with in Topeka.
Yeah.
Follow the money.
Ooh,
Hodes-Nauger was the one that opened that up for us here.
Yeah.
While it just sounds like random names, it is specifically a father and, I believe, son, or it's a mother-daughter doctor team up in Kansas City that does abortions.
Interesting.
And that's who is suing the state to make sure this thing got opened up all the way.
Still wide open.
And think of how much money they are bringing in the abortion industry there.
That's a cause for concern. Let's take a break here real quick. We're talking with State Representative Leo Delperdang right here in the Wichita area, District Number 94. When we come back, we'll continue to break some of these veto bills down, what they actually mean. I want to touch on the sugaring, because apparently sugaring, we got to have that cosmetology license to handle all those chemicals and new age things like sugar and honey. I know, it's wild. We'll do some of that when we come back here, plus your phone calls at 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotlines. Lots more coming up on Kansas Talk. Six minutes past the hour. Welcome back into it. Got a couple of minutes left here with State Representative Leo Delperdang.
Oh, hold on here.
Those people watching on Facebook Live, which you can do at facebook.com/1480KQAM. Got to get the video on here as well. Leo, we're talking about some of these bills that the governor vetoed. Again, some of them, it's obvious the political partisanship that she likes to veto this stuff. But now we know that she wants easy access for children on adult websites. She wants potentially coerced abortions to happen in the state. She doesn't want anybody to give an explanation on why they're doing a life-altering abortion thing without giving a reason, and that we should totally allow any type of manipulation of children for the LGBTQ transgender thing.
So let's take it one step further then.
Okay.
Let's talk about sugar.
Let's talk about sugar, because that apparently now...
And I got to be honest out there to the radio land here, I didn't know what sugaring was. 4 weeks ago, I had no clue what it was.
Really? Yeah.
Until it started coming up, and it's like, what in the world are we talking about?
It's wild.
And you had the various Democrats went to the front of the well here talking about the rights of a 14-year-old to go up and get themselves sugared for a Brazilian. And it's like, what are we talking about here? You know, why are children going up and getting this done? I don't get it.
So the bill essentially just said that we need to remove sugaring from being part of the cosmetology industry.
Correct.
Because there's no reason to get a license. This is where government gets too big.
Mm-hmm.
When You go and get a cosmetology license, and you go through the school and go through the classes. Essentially, you're becoming a chemist because you're using so many chemicals to do things with people's right. hair, right? I mean, that's the whole purpose.
But the question to you, and I understand that, but if you're a cosmetologist going through school, how many hours do you spend on sugaring?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's very minimal.
I'm sure that it's just barely, if it's even a breeze over, of just like, oh, yeah, by the way, there's this natural way to do it, too. Which it is, but the whole purpose of a government license is to make sure that you're doing things the proper way so you don't harm anybody, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole reason for the control of an industry. Sugaring is literally like sugar and honey and water and that sort of thing. And apparently you need a license for that. And that's all this bill did was said that you could do sugaring in your home without getting a cosmetology license.
Right.
And why would this be an issue?
Yeah, I can't tell you there. I personally, I've never had it done, so I don't know.
Maybe I need some
like
sugar.
Like I said, I had to go look it up and see what we were even talking about coming into this bill.
Wow. But, and they say that they want just someone that's certified to be able to do a Brazilian on your 14-year-old. That was the argument that they used.
Yeah, because of, if you're going to have your 14-year-old girl up there spread eagle to get this done, it needs to be a certified person versus just anybody. And I'm thinking, why is a 14-year-old girl up there spread eagle getting that done? That's something I've got an issue with.
That's the question. We got about 20 seconds left, but do you think we can override these vetoes?
There's several that we can. There are several we cannot.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'd have to look back on what the vote scores were all. Some of these were pretty high votes, and yeah, we probably could.
Okay.
There's going to be others. Will we have enough vote in the Senate side? I don't know. And then there's some that were pretty close.
Close.
We're talking low 70s voting for, and you need 84 on the House. You need 27 on the Senate side.
It's going to be interesting. Leo Delperdang, State Representative, good to talk to you, my friend. We'll get another update once you guys hopefully get some of these overridden. We'll do it then. All right.
Good to be on here, Andy.
Always a pleasure. Davis Liquor Outlet coming up right around the corner. We'll talk from sugaring to what sugar's in your adult beverage right around the corner.
Kansas Talk with Andy Hoosier on the Big Talker KQAM.
Yes, it is. Welcome back into flip that guy over. So great to have you with us here on the home stretch. Last little bit of Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker KQAM. So wonderful to have you with us. 316-721-8255 on the Maximum Outdoor Equipment Hotline. So always appreciate Leo Delperdang coming on the program to break down some of the legislation. The big question is, what bills will we be able to override with vetoes moving forward? We'll do some more of that here a little bit later. But let's shift gears. Let's have some fun. It is warm outside. I was driving down this morning, already almost 70 degrees. Tomorrow's supposed to be like 90, which means that I probably won't cut my yard yet because that's way too hot for me to be outside functioning. So but if you are working outside and starting all your spring projects and doing your outdoor thingies, the question is then, what kind of adult beverages can you enjoy to keep you nice and cool and refreshed? As I love talking about how the different seasons bring in different stuff. So Davis Liquor Outlet, Brian and Blake Davis in studio with us here to give us the rundown. What's going on, guys? Welcome, hey. Welcome.
Yeah, it is officially, almost officially lawnmower beer weather.
Yes. We are there. I'll call it at least for this weekend. We'll see if it stays that way.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's turning it. I mean, make sure your AC works today.
Yeah. Make sure the AC works.
You are going to want it tomorrow.
Yeah.
There's no getting around the 30-mile-an-hour wind and a giant tornado blowing.
Yeah. My neighbor's looking at me strange because I haven't done anything with my lawn yet. Yeah. I've been putting it off. And now I have like the, foot tall dandelions that are just sitting there. So I'm like, okay, I guess I need to do something. But I really don't want to do it in the hot weather.
So you're the guy that's going to mow, and the dandelions are already to the blooming stage, and you're going to mow, and all that's going to blow over his yard.
Absolutely.
Now he's going to have dandelions.
He can deal with the dandelions thereafter. Yeah. I'm just a loving guy. I want to share.
There you go.
Well, here's all natural. I like the all natural yard. I like just going back to basics.
Oh, we do. No, we don't use any of the pesticide stuff. Actually, dandelions, we didn't get it early enough this season, but if you pick the dandelions, I know this is very like holistic hippie stuff, but if you pick the dandelions, my wife makes honey from the dandelions, and it's delicious. Absolutely, I would take dandelion honey over anything. And what she does with her holistic alternative remedy stuff and all her natural stuff, the henbit, which is the blue and purple flowers, and then the dandelions, she picks that and turns it into food and the honey and medicines and stuff that she does. And That's her Native American stuff coming out.
All right, if you come to my neighborhood, I got a row of like 14 houses.
There we go. That's right. Right. Start picking away.
Gonna yell at you.
That's right. They'll be totally happy. I love it. I always enjoy chatting with you guys, and it's always fun to talk about how the seasons always change our taste buds when it comes to adult beverages. And so now that we're getting into springtime and warmer weather, it's going to be the lighter beers and some of the fruity stuff, right?
Yeah, light, crisp, and easy drinking is kind of the name of the game. You know, we're going to start to see more of our, you know, summery kind of lemonade, shandy, stuff like that.
Shandy is on the shelf.
What's a shandy?
So that's a beer and lemonade mixed together. So it gives it a little bit brighter, a little bit sweeter, something you can really pound 12 of at the lake, something like that.
Beer and lemonade.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah. It sounds good. I love when they mix lemonade with other harder liquors, but I've never tried beer and lemonade together. So that's interesting.
I have a buddy that used to drink orange juice and beer. He's from Nebraska, and that was their thing. They didn't do a lot of red beers. They did orange juice and beer. And it was pretty good. I'm like, well, that's not bad.
Wow.
I'm not a tomato guy, so I'm okay.
Infuse it all with everything nowadays, don't they?
If you can mix it.
The options are out there, yeah. Whatever your taste buds want, there's something out there.
Mikey likes the commercial. Let's just see how, will Mikey drink it? Yes, Mikey will.
Mikey will.
Why not? Sell that.
Yes. It's an adult beverage and it tastes good, yeah. Yeah. I've enjoyed the ones that you brought in last time, the grapefruit one. I did enjoy that. I've been more enjoying the fruity infused beers, which I never really got into before, so that's nice. But then, lemonade. I love lemonade. That's my go-to during the summer. So infuse that with beer. That sounds very good and interesting.
It's light. It's like 4%, if that. I mean, it's super light. It's the typical lawnmower beer. You can drink six of them and mow your yard, and your yard will, the lines stay straight.
That's sessionable stuff you can drink a handful of function.
Why you can actually still get things done.
Yeah. So much the 10%, you know, big heavy stouts that we're coming off of from the winter.
I'm not going to lose my toe when I'm weed eating.
It's a little bit stronger than Mick Ultra, so you're fine.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, good. Okay. So harder liquors, is that still a thing during the summertime? Or is that, you know, like you said, more during just the winter when you're trying to stay warm and cozy?
It drops off a little bit. You know, we definitely see, you know, stuff like bourbon picks up, you know, during the winter and the colder times, just because, you know, bourbon is always popular. But when it's 100 degrees out, I don't want to think about just a nice big gulp of whiskey on a 100 degree day.
Mm. That's so more at nighttime when you sit back with a cigar and actually kick back after a long
time. Right. Yeah. That's the 8 o'clock switchover, you know. But we do still see, you know, it's kind of the season of mixed drinks and fruity drinks. And
it's gin and tonic time.
Yeah.
Rum and Cokes.
Non-alcoholic
rum
beers.
Rum and lemonades. Non-alcoholic beers.
Yep. Non-alcoholic beers.
We brought a Heineken to try today.
A Heineken non-alcoholic beer. All right.
Yeah. So, we brought a couple other fun things that are good for this season. Are you familiar with Happy Dad Seltzer, the Nelk Boys? They hang out with Dana White
and
so we brought their seltzers, just came into the state. So
we brought
those.
Nice.
And Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre just came out with the gin and juice. So these are gin based. There's passion fruit, there's pineapple, there's all kinds, but you can take this one home if you want or try it, but it's got a purple lowrider on it, for God's sake.
That's fantastic.
I want to drink this really bad.
Yes, we need to try that.
But it's
great. We'll share that for the camera here as well. Yeah.
So everybody's coming out with prepared cocktails.
I was going to say, so are you seeing a lot more celebrity drinks or celebrity style drinks that are coming out?
For sure.
Are you?
John Daly, Travis Pastrana, Kylie Jenner, one of the Jenners, Snoop and Dr. Dre, and these are all the prepared cocktails, alcohol based.
A lot of vodka sodas are in the mix these days.
So it's not even just like the straight tequilas or the straight whiskeys that they're coming out. Obviously Conor McGregor's whiskey. Dan Aykroyd that has his tequila out there.
Yeah, this is coming into the, you know, go to the pool and you've already got it in a can ready to go. Do your yard work. And
that
you've
takes
got
the fun away though from mixing things though.
But it's the ease, and if you're going to on a picnic, you take these instead of taking a bottle and, you know, all the stuff.
That's the trend right now.
And they're 6%, 5.9%, 6%. So I'm not Not okay. overwhelming,
yeah.
But
still a little more oomph than your, you know, 4 or 5% seltzer or something like that. And it's the ease of being able to grab one. That's a little bit what, you know, some of the younger shoppers are gravitating towards of, I just want to be able to grab something.
Just grab it and go.
Head to the pool, whatever.
When did you see that, I guess, cultural transition? Because there was something about being able to have your bar displayed and being able to be a mix. Like, I've always joked, I've always wanted to do a mixology thing. My wife got me a mixology class online that I wanted to do because I don't even drink a lot anymore, but I have my bar and I just enjoy mixing drinks together. There's something about it, but having it already pre-made, is that a new thing? Is it just kind of a new fad? When did this come about?
It's a little bit newer. You know, for the past, 5 years or so, we've seen pre-made cocktails pick up, but I mean, really right now is everybody has a pre-made cocktail. It's like seltzers were a few years ago.
Interesting.
This is a new version of the seltzer.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And I think, you know, speaking for me from experience, I also love mixing drinks, but I was always really good at, like, I got all my ingredients and I made like 3 drinks and then they sat on the shelf. And so I think everybody likes the mixed drinks and likes something a little, you know, it's a little more special than a beer or a seltzer. It feels a little more primo.
Right.
But without that, like, okay, well, I made a few and I spent $50 on ingredients and now they're just going to sit there. Now you just, okay, I grabbed 6 and we're good for the day or
that
whatever.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, you made the first two, made the first batch,
and
then you got through those and you're like, man, I mean, there's a little strong. I wish I didn't have to. I'm not going to go back inside, cut the lime, cut the lemon, get everything ready to go, muddle it down.
The more you have, the harder each one gets to make a little bit, and then your pouring hand maybe gets a little.
And I'm lazy.
Yeah.
Hold on, that's in a can?
Yeah.
Do
good.
It.
And we're done.
Good. All right. Well, let's try a couple of these. This sounds great. So we have the Happy Dads. We have the Heineken non-alcoholic beverage.
What do you want to try? You know, Blake and I are still hanging tight on not drinking.
So not drinking. Let's bust that open then. Let's try that guy then. Let's do the non-alcoholic Heineken.
Yeah. So we've been, I think the last couple of times we've been talking about some of the more non-alcoholic options we got. It's a really great time for non-alcoholic everything, not just beer anymore. But I'd say Heineken Zero is one of, like, I mean, in terms of finding it around town, I mean, it's everywhere, it feels like. Yeah. If you're looking for an NA option that you can rely on and is just...
Most restaurants will have it.
Sure. First off, how long have you guys gone without drinking any?
So I'm... Oh, he's going to pull up his face. I just hit 4 months-ish.
Wow. Just because?
Pretty much, you know, and part of it was, you know, dad has a couple months on me, and it was kind of like after he got rock and rolling, it was like, crap, I can... If dad can do it, I can do it.
That's right. That's awesome. Well, good for
195
you.
195
days. Boom. 195
days. How amazing. So I'm committed now to making it till at least September. That would give me 1 year.
Okay.
Just because.
To be able to do it, which is fantastic. I'm sure that not only, like, do you feel better when you don't do that, but I've heard it, like, makes dreams more vivid, that you actually, like, just feel better throughout the day. It's just...
I just feel better.
Just feel better?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. All right. That's awesome.
Yeah. I can tell you, when COVID came and we were busting, you know, busting our A's because we were so busy and get home and it would be like, okay, let's have a drink. And the next thing you drink till 8 o'clock because you're still like, what is going on and what's happening? And then that didn't stop.
Yeah.
Right.
It was
very few people started drinking less during COVID.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
If you had anything kicking
around. Well,
people
were buying more to do the bar at home. Yeah.
I'd come home from work.
Yeah.
Have a beer and then like drink till 7 o'clock. Then it was dinner time. But I would every night for 4 hours.
Right.
That doesn't count Saturdays or Sundays. Just don't count those days. That's just what I did.
Routine gets you. Yeah, that's
and I had to get out of the routine.
Sure.
And I don't drink many of the zeros anymore. When I first started to get over the edge,
sure.
I would do that sometimes now. Like I bought a bottle of NA Sauvignon Blanc that we have Gießen for tonight. We're gonna do a tenderloin, and my wife's gonna have some wine. I'm like, you know, I think I'm gonna do my yard work, and I want to sit on the back patio and pour a glass of wine. Make myself mentally look like it. And do that. But
it's awesome.
But there's so many options.
So many more options, and you know, we got so many beers at this point. The wines we just brought in some. They're non-alcoholic. There's a strawberry margarita and a mojito.
Oh, there you go.
So really, they're a, you know, you can use it as a mixer if you want to add your stuff, or you can drink it, you know, straight up over ice, and it kind of gets that same
still
vibe.
Looks, gets a feel. White Claw just has an NA seltzer. Quirk will be coming out with theirs again, I believe, sometime soon. So Blue Moon. The line. I think we brought the Blue Moon last time.
That's
right.
So many more
Boulevard
options
has
the
wheat. More lemon feel to it.
Yeah, and that's a good. You know, if you're looking for a summer beer, that'd do it for
you. We went from having a couple shelves dedicated to at our 21st Amazon store. We just dedicated a whole cooler door.
Okay.
In our craft area, it's just NA from top to bottom.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not just O'Doul's and Buckler anymore. There's some options
there's
out there.
So many out there. It's such a big industry now with that. Yeah, I love it. One of these times I do want to talk to you guys about wines because I enjoy wine. The wife likes obviously the white range of the Zinfandels, whatever. I like the darkest, reddest, driest wine that you can get. And it drives her because she's like, oh my God, it tastes like vinegar. But I love it. I love where, you take a sip and it just like your tongue shrivels up. And I just love that.
We just did a sampling for Thursday with one of our salespeople. And so Blake and I are just smelling it. And I'm looking at Blake. I'm like, it was a Montepulciano. So kind of a Italian bigger, more flavor profile than a lighter, not quite a Cabernet.
Sure.
But
grapes get laid out in the sun, so it brings out some more of that, more of the tannins, more of that big, like, whoa, that kind of sucked everything out of my mouth right there.
I was ready to have a glass. 10 o'clock in the morning, like I'm ready to get this
ready
thing
to do
started.
Like, yeah,
a glass
yeah.
of big red wine that you just sip it, and you're like, I need a bloody steak right now.
Absolutely.
I do miss that part.
And this time of year, it's white wine time. So Pinot Grigio, Sauvignon Blancs, all that kind of stuff. You'll start seeing Proseccos through your back patio with a little sparkling wine, just sitting on. It is that time where it's not.
Yep.
You know how it is. We all know how it is in Kansas. It's not 85% humidity yet. It's still only 85 degrees.
Yeah,
so it still feels good.
It's nice to be outside right now.
It feels nice. That's right. We can enjoy it as we can right now. Exactly. Let's take a break. We're going to try these things. It's the Heineken with the alcohol-free Heineken here that you can get at Davis Liquor Outlet and other locations and online at davisliquoroutlet.com. We'll talk some more about those and some of the other drinks that we have for the spring and going into summer season right here on Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Stay here. Back into it. It is Kansas Talk, Wichita's Big Talker, KQAM. Boy, it flies right on by. The weekend with Michael Brown coming up right around the corner after 11 o'clock, both here on KQAM and our friends out in Garden City on KIUL, which are simulcasting us right now as well. So welcome aboard Western Kansas. You guys can all come out when you're out in this area. Davis Liquor Outlet. Four locations, right?
Three locations.
Davis Liquor Outlet.com and your app that you can check out and see all the great specials and everything you have going on there.
We just upgraded. You want to tell?
On the note of the app, we did just make a upgrade to our website. So if you do head to davisliquoroutlet.com, our website, we now have a shop online tab.
Okay.
So you can do same sort of ordering you can do through the app, but now you can do it on your computer if that's a little easier for you. And it also has all of our tobacco products that are available to order on there. If that's
tobacco
something
products now.
Can't do that.
Apple does not like you being able to buy cigarettes on
How
their
dare
app
you?
Store. So
how dare you buy cigarettes? How dare you do something?
Just booze.
Pipe tobacco?
We have. Yeah. I don't know what we carry, but
a little bit? Okay.
Pipe tobacco?
Cigarettes?
No. We don't have any real pipe tobacco.
No,
Like the old English. The tins. I don't think we carry any.
Okay.
I don't know if we do or not.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
I love sitting. I'll sit and smoke a cigar, but sometimes cigars take forever to smoke. And after about 20 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm good. Having a pipe, I love the smell of pipe tobacco. I love the taste of pipe tobacco. I'll sit there and I will, sip on some whiskey, probably a proper 12, and I'll sit there and then just, light up the pipe tobacco. And legitimate pipe tobacco.
now we're saying that because there's some, you can make roll your own cigarettes
with pipe tobacco,
but that's not. That's the pipe tobacco you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, yeah.
Actual
and when we, and just a reminder, we do have pre-rolled, if you're into smoking things that are legal.
Yes.
hemp-based THC in the stores. We started carrying some pre-rolls.
Yep.
I would not rattle down THC, the name, but I
hemp
can't.
That you can smoke.
So, it's hemp. It's hemp based. I mean, all hemp is. It's all the same,
right?
But our good president, from our previous president, fast passed a hemp bill that allowed up to such a small percentage.
It is a little more letter of the law than spirit,
you heat up certain things, you get the same effect.
Yes. Yeah. So when you see Delta 8 and Delta 9, you know, gummies and everything, it's the same stuff that goes into them is also still just as legal for pre-rolls and stuff like that. So we've got gummies, we got drinks, we got smokables. So however you like to consume your stuff.
Covering across the board. This Heineken is delicious too, by the way. So for those that listen, it tastes just like a Heineken.
Yeah. And it looks, I mean, it's in a green, it looks like, you could walk through a party and nobody would know the difference of what you had in your hand.
Right.
That's kind of the neat thing about some of this new stuff, the athletics and those kind of things with the NAs is that they, you know, when you would roll in with that white Old Milwaukee NA, it was like NA was the biggest thing written on the can.
Right.
Or O'Doul's. You knew O'Doul's was
the only thing.
Yeah, it's like, but now you can walk in with a Heineken, that looks just like another Heineken or Athletic or all these things. They look, it's always that you get stereotyped.
Sure.
Oh, you're not a drinker.
Yeah.
It makes it a little easier really to go, if you don't want to get into that conversation with people, you can, you can have a can that's just something to hold and something to scratch that itch a little bit. Yeah. And you don't have to.
Well, and it tastes just like, to a T, this stuff's fantastic.
Yeah.
Non-alcoholic. That's amazing. I love it. We're about 45 seconds, so we have to wrap up. Locations, where can people find you guys? Not just the website at davisliqueroutlet.com, not just the app, but locations as well.
Yeah, so we have three locations around town at 21st and Amadon, 13th Waco, and right over here at Kellogg and Tyler. So just pop into whichever one's more convenient for you. And feel free to head to our website and grab the app for more.
Go grab the app. A great special's going on as well. All the non-alcoholic stuff, all the pre-mixed stuff, which now I'm a whole nother industry that I have to go check out now, apparently. I have to go try all these
all kinds of goodies.
Man, we keep you busy for days.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We were talking off the air. We're going to have to do like a breakdown on wines because that's always fascinated me too. So maybe we'll have to have a full-on hour special program to talk about some of that stuff as well. But Brian and Blake, always good to talk to you guys. Happy whatever month we're in now, April, as we go into springtime. So we will do it again real soon, my friends.
Hey, don't forget to pay your taxes on Monday.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's tax day, Monday. That's right. Great stuff
just
there.
Just a reminder.
Happy tax day. Now I need a drink. That's right. Lots more coming up here on Candace Talk next week from 9 to 11. Make sure to stay tuned in there. Until then, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. This is Candace Talk. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio.